So today we're in the colloquial period of the 3 weeks. But I say colloquial because there is no halachic concept called the 3 weeks. In fact, I think Rav Schechter always likes saying over. He read a sefer a long time ago, and it said the shalosh shavuos. Like, you know, he thought it meant about the. He was looking about the 3 weeks, and basically it was on the three oaths that in the Gemara at the end of Ksuvis, that the different oaths that people have taken about in terms of how to do with Eretz Yisrael. Because there is no halachic phrase Shalosh Shavuos. Number one, because it's not 3 weeks, it's 22 days. But even more than that, it's known as Ben HaMitzarim, in between the tragedies. The tragedies of beginning, we had last week the Yudzai in Tammuz, the many different things, the five different things that happened on Yudzai in Tammuz, about the breaking of the Luchos, the Karban Tamid was Nisbata, which is interesting to note, because Parshas Pinchas usually falls, many times it's the beginning of the 3 weeks. And in Parashas Pinchas, they talk about the mitzvah of the Karban Tamid. So interesting, the Yudzayin Tamid, which talks about the Umavatil, the Karban Tamid, is the parasha about the Karban Tamid. And then you have the main reason we fast is because the breaching of the wall. Yeah. And then they talk about a pastimist burning a Sefer Torah, and perhaps him also putting an Avodah Zarah in. So that was the tragedies of Yudzayin Tamid, and we'll get to, actually, 2 weeks today, Tisha B'Av, that we talk about the destruction of both temples and perhaps many other things that happened on that day as well, but the two temples. So that's why it's known as the Ben HaMitzarim, in between the tragedies on Yudzayin Tammuz and the tragedies of Tisha B'Av. That's why it's not called halachically the 3 weeks, even though colloquial, everyone calls it the 3 weeks. So if I use the 3 weeks, it's a colloquial term, not a halachic term. I'd rather use a colloquial term, everyone knows what I'm talking about, than use a halachic term, people don't. So, yeah, so it's Lashon B'nei Adam. So therefore, so we have three different stages. We have, so interesting, that it's known as the Shlosha de Peruniusa, the three, in other words, in general, originally, when we set up Kriyas HaTorah, apparently we only finished it every 3 years. But they took 3 weeks to do a parsha. It wasn't like they did a third of a parsha of Bereishis, a third, that wasn't it. They used to finish every parsha, it took 3 weeks, and it took 3 years. I guess in Bavel, they changed it that we should finish the Torah every, you know, once a year. So once, so we have an institution we're familiar with that we read the Torah every week, and we have halachas of tashlumin, perhaps, as we learned during COVID, or we didn't learn during COVID, but that was a big stretch of, that wasn't just 1 week missing, that was many weeks of missing. And however, in terms of the haftorah, there is no fixed haftorah. Chazal never designated a specific haftorah for a parsha. They gave us different principles. It should be related to the parsha. It should be in Yoni Diyoma, some type of connection. And that's why Svardim have different haftorahs, Ashkenaz, Chabad, other minhagim. It wasn't a specific haftorah given for 1 week. Today we have more standard haftorahs. We just follow whatever the minig was, but it was never a fixed one. However, when it comes to the Shlosh and the Peruniusa, these 3 weeks between, before Tisha B'Av, they gave us specific Haftorahs to read. So that's why this Shabbos, we didn't read from the Haftorah Pinchas. It could have been the Haftorah Maseh, but it's Divrei Yirmiyahu. It's the words of Yirmiyahu, that's this week. Next week, it's Shimu Dvar Hashem, I think Shimu Dvar Hashem. They're also from Yirmiyahu. And the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is Chazon Yishayahu Ben Amat. So Rav Sadek HaKohen points out there's a progression going on. There's a difference. So what when we say Divrei Yirmiyahu, the words of Yirmiyahu, so that's an allusion to that we know that what are words could be great and words could be destructive. So Divrei Yirmiyahu is giving us Musar. We have to make sure we speak properly. We don't speak Lashon Hara. We speak Lashon Tov. We don't speak bad about people, etc. So the first stage is working on our own Dibor. That we have to get our own, we have to speak appropriately. And then next week, the next stage, Shimel. Also, we have to control what comes into our ears. Because we know there are three people affected by Lashon Hara. The one talking, the one listening, and the victim, and the one that's speaking about. Or maybe not victim, maybe if it's true, but the one who it's about. So therefore, in addition that you don't want to hurt the other person, you don't want to listen to Lashon Hara, it's not good for the person saying it, but it's also for you. Like you don't want to hear Lashon Hara from other people as well. So the first stage is you stopping to talk, you get your own talking in order, then you move it to the next step. You have to try not to listen to other people's Lashon Hara either, because that has an impact on you. But we know that's why diets don't work. What do you mean diet? What I mean by diets is you call it a diet. A diet by definition means, okay, it usually implies this is, you know, for the next day, next month, next year, whatever your diet is. And, you know, let's say you have a goal, okay, I want to lose 5 pounds, 10 pounds. Because diets don't work, because by definition, it's only time limited. In other words, so let's say you lose the 5 pounds, or okay, then you're going to go back to the way you ate before. So maybe you're better off not, because going up and down could be worse. Who knows? But either way, the point being is, you can't go on a, you know, it's semantics, but it's real life as well. You have to do a lifestyle change. Diets don't work. You want to eat better and become healthier. So that if you're doing a lifestyle change, so it's not a battle. Like a diet, okay, so I want to eat this, I want to eat that. The goal of, whether it's a diet, whether it's something spiritual, is a battle's okay for a short time period. You can win battles, but if every day, wow, I'm battling to go into McDonald's, eventually you're going to lose the battle. Or I really can't wait to speak Lashon Hara. I think I can make it another night. That's a good approach while you're in it, but it's not a good long-term approach, meaning obviously you should battle something as much as you can if you shouldn't, but that's not going to be you have to change your perspective. Like it says, like Rabbi, I'm sure there's many a woman like that, but let's say Rav Palm's mother, they say, never spoke Lashon Hara. And she never learned the Chafetz Chaim's book on Lashon Hara. Because what's the pshat? She didn't deal with the symptom. She went, like, if you like people and you see people in a good eye, then like, wait a minute, what's Lashon Hara? Like, why would I speak Lashon Hara about someone I love? If you have the Avas Yisrael, you deal with the problem. If you just deal with the symptom, okay, so you got to learn, well, let's go see, I can say this. Can I say this about this guy? Because it's not real. You're going to struggle every time if you have hate for someone or you don't like someone. But if you love, if you have Avas Yisrael, then there goes the struggle, and it's not even productive. It's a change of lifestyle. So that's what the Rav Tzadok explains. We're going through a spiritual progression. The first week, we work on our own Dibor, Divrei Yirmiyahu. We work on our own Lashon Hara. Then we move into next week, Shimel. We shouldn't even be listening to Lashon Hara, and we try to, not for the person saying it, not for anyone. But short-term battles don't work. We have to change chazon, vision. We have to have the correct vision. We need a perspective in life in order to be able to change, to have Avas Yisrael. And that's why as well, in this week's Parsha Pinchas, it says, Brisi Shalom, they talk about a Vav Kitia. The Vav is like different opinions, if it's cut, if it's a cut in the middle, if it's cut on top, whatever the pshat is. But they say you can't have Shalom unless you Sholem. Unless someone's complete, you can't get the Shlemus. That's why Shalom, some say you read it without the Vav. Sholem and Shalom are interchangeable, because unless you work on yourself, you're never gonna have inner peace until you work out your own issues. And in fact, the Gemara in Kiddushin has some interesting halachas they learn out from the Vav Kitia. That we know there's halacha, a Kohen has to do the avoda. Speak to Yael if you have any questions. However, let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha. So what's the status of the Kohen's still a Kohen. But what's the status of the son? So he's a cholol, you know, literally like empty, hollow. He doesn't have a din of a Kohen. He doesn't get the first Aliyah. He doesn't do Birkas Kohanim. He can't eat the Truma. Basically, he's not a Kohen. So the Gemara wants to know, what about if, it's a discussion whether he knew he was a cholol or not. Let's assume he didn't know. Let's assume he thought he was a Kohen. And then after the avoda, he found that he was a cholol. Do you have to repeat the avoda? Like whatever he did, is that b'di'evet okay, or you have to do it over? Because everyone agrees if Yisrael did it, you have to do it over. And Pashtus, he has a din of Yisrael. However, comes along the Gemara and the Mefarshim say, no, b'di'evet, it's good. What do you mean b'di'evet, it's good? How is it good? He's not a Kohen. No, so based on Parshas Pinchas, let's let me get the exact quote, since I have a chumash in front of me, something Lazaro, Hayalo, Lazaro Acharav, something like that. I'm on Matos, I'm not that far away. Double Parsha next week, I don't want to scare you away, but it's a double Parsha and it's Rosh Chodesh. You might have to break up your davening, it might be too much for you, all that in one time. So what does the pasuk say? Vini nosing o esprisi sholom v'haisalo u'zaro acharav bris kunas olam. So the Gemara says, since it says u'zaro acharav, so even if you're a zera, you still have a shemetz, you still have a little piece of kahuna in you. So even though l'chadchila you can't do it, again, it's a discussion whether if he knew he was a chol or not, but let's assume he didn't know. Even that's a debate. So we see, based on this pasuk, even though he's a chol, but since he's considered zaro achara because of Pinchas, the avod is good. So one might say, so what about if he's a baal mum? A baal mum also, someone who has a blemish, he also can't do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens b'di'evet if he did? So I would say, b'haisol was zaro achara. So I'd say that should be good also. Gemara says no, it's a no-go. Why? Based on the other pasuk. The pasuk says, Hini neisalo is brisi shalom. I said shalom, the vav kitia. Some say you read it without the vav, which means shalem. So we learn, so it's a special gzera tzakasu, we learn halachas from it, that a baal mum is even pasul b'di'evet, in contrast to a cholol, who b'di'evet, he fits in lazaro acharav, and he's still a shalem. So either way, that's what, in order to have, you need a vision. You need to be shalem to make shalom. You need to have, so therefore we're hoping to reach the Madrego. We just read about Dibor. We're working on our next level, not even to listen Lashon Hara, and ultimately to change our perspective and realize, as we know, the Churban was brought out because of Sinas Chinam. So we want, as Rav Kook always says, we got to go the other extreme, Avas Chinam. So that's, as Rav Tzadok explains, that's the spiritual degrees we go through. However, Rav Soloveitchik gave a more of a halachic distinction. By the way, Rav Tzadok, Rav Tzadok's very hard to understand, but when you understand what he's saying, I like Rav Tzadok because Rav Tzadok is what I call, or it's not my own, but what they call a litvak turned chassid. Rav Tzadok was a litvak, so what I mean to say is, so he knows, not that I'm trashing non-litvaks, but let's say litvaks focus more on shas and poskim, so he knows shas and poskim, and he can give me shtickles. So I know it's based on shas, like the Avnei Nezer, I put him in the other level, even though he's a chassid Sherebi, but he was a gaon in halacha and gemara. So you have people who are in both. Obviously, I'm not saying, obviously people focus on learning Gemara and Poskim, they're going to know more of that. If you're focusing on Chassidus or others, you might be a bigger tzaddik. I'm just being descriptive. I'm not saying one way is better than the other. And obviously, for different people, different approaches. Of course, we need both. We have to combine, you know, both aspects into our life. But either way, so getting back, so that's Rav Tzadok. So Rav Soloveitchik has a different distinction between the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, as all briskers do, is you have to categorize. You can't say I'm in an Avelis period and not like define it. Like, I mean, you can't make up your own Avelis period. It has to be some precedent. You can't say, well, the 3 weeks, you know, it's a little bit of Shiva, Shloshim, you know, we'll take a minute from here. Many say you can do that, but the briskers say you can. So Rav Soloveitchik was the briskers from the brisker dynasty. He says, no. If the 3 weeks or 9 days of Tisha B'Av have an Avelis quality, then we have to go back to the original Avelis. So in original Avelis, we have Shiva, we have Shloshim, and we have Yud Beis Chodesh. That Shiva, you know, you lose a loved one. Shloshim is the classical Avelis. And then Yud Beis Chodesh is the din of Avelis, but it's only for mother and father. It's a din of Kivud Aveim, a din of Avelis, etc. So we have three categories of Avelis. So Rav Soloveitchik said the 3 weeks, 9 days, and Tisha B'Av is patterned after the original din of Avelis. You can't make up your own categories. So he says Tisha B'Av is like Shiva, the 9 days, Shua Shachobo is like Shloshim, and the 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik asks, but they seem to be in reverse order. When it comes to what we call classical Avelis, you lose a loved one, it's Shiva, Shloshim, Yud Beis, it goes from a chamor to the kal. It goes from strict to lighter.
Yes.
But when it comes to at the time period we're in now, the 3 weeks we start off with no weddings, no haircuts. Then we move into the 9 days, Basar V'Yayin, maybe other, you know, another prohibition, and then we end up at Tisha B'Av, the ultimate. So he says, how come that? Why do we reverse the order? Why is so? Rav Soloveitchik explains, based on a Gemara in Yevamos and other places, there's a fundamental difference between what we'll call Avelis Chadasha, meaning a new Avelis, versus Avelis Yishan, an old. What's a new Avelis? What's an old Avelis? A new Avelis is, Rachmana Litzlan, you lose a parent, you lose a close relative right now. So that's Avelis Chadasha. Avelis Yishan is national mourning. We're not mourning an event that happened in the past couple of days. It could be thousands of years ago that we're mourning an event. That's, so he says there's a fundamental difference between the two, how we deal with them. Avelis Chadasha, no one has to tell you how to feel. It hits you right away. In the brain, the heart, wherever it hits you, you feel it right away. Hopefully time heals. You have an intensive Shiva. It's therapeutic. People come in, they pay a Shiva call. That's the hardest time. And then Shiva, you have to walk around the corner saying, that's it. We have to move into the new normal. I'd love to stay and mourn the rest of my life, not leave my house. But Judaism says you have to get up and move on. It's tragic, but you have to deal with tragedies in your life. You have to take the curses and turn them into blessings. You got to move on in life. You got to turn it into the new normal. And then, you know, for a parent, then you have, after Shloshim really is the end of Avelis, but for a parent, you only have one mommy and one daddy. So therefore, we continue it. So therefore, we understand, you feel it right away, hence the laws of Avelis fit into your raw emotions. If a person doesn't feel the law, I mean, sometimes it can hit you 6 months later, it could be surreal. But that's the reason why we do everything right away. What's the first thing we do? We want to have an immediate burial. So you rip Kriya. The meaning is you put the earth in the, if you can, because we want you to feel it. The first stage is always denial. So in order to mourn, you got to recognize the person's dead. If you're in denial what happened, then you're never going to be besides halachically, just psychologically, it's not healthy. You have, denial's never healthy. You know, once in a while, denial's healthy, depending on, you know, if you want to play some mind games once in a while. But as a general, then you're not really in denial. You're just playing mind games. But if you're really in denial, it's a problem. And therefore, that's the whole point of Avelis. However, when it comes to national mourning, it's not something I feel right now. If it happened thousands of years ago, I'm not a machine. I can't just wake up. Okay, Tisha B'Av, let me cry over the temple. Maybe, you know, some tzaddikim can. So we got to start slow. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, it's a three-week period. Ben HaMitzarim. Let's start off with haircuts, you know, weddings, maybe music, etc. Let's start getting into the mood. You can't do, and in fact, there was a, we don't paskin this way, but there was a shita that even says from Yud Zayin Tammuz, there's a meaning not to have meat and wine for 3 weeks. Why? Because Bato HaKarbon. Because on Yud Zayin Tammuz, the karbanas was stopped, and therefore that's, you know, that's bus of a yayin. So we don't have that minik. But there was an old minik for some who didn't have bus. You know, for us, 9 days is plenty. But, for, you know, but back in the day, there were those chassidim who even did it for 3 weeks. So, etc. So you start off, okay. And then, okay, Misha Nichnazov Mematim Besimcha. I move into Rosh Chodesh next week. You got to minimize your joy. You got to cut back on the bus of a yayin, etc. And then hopefully, the time you get to Tisha B'Av, maybe you'll be in the mode already. We're in Churban Abayas, and then you'll be able to say kinos, and you know, whether you actually, you know, cry, you know, mean like cry with tears per se, a person can feel the Churban, you know, whatever a person mourns. Everyone mourns differently. And we're hoping by the time you get to Tisha B'Av, maybe we'll have some feeling of korban. So the effort that, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik says, a more halachic distinction. He's not disagreeing with Rav Tzadok, but he's, what Rav Tzadok saying is true. But Rav Soloveitchik saying that 3 weeks are patterned after halachic category. You can't make up your own categories. And therefore, and that's why, in fact, they're different. You know, if the, that's why there's difference. If it's national mourning, that's why. The question is, why don't we, one of the things we do when we lose a loved one is we rip Kriya. We rip Kriya on Aviv Imo and others. So how come we don't rip Kriya on Tisha B'Av? If Tisha B'Av is, it's a Zeichel L'Churban, and in fact, that's, the, let's say, the Minhag Yisrael, the question is, if you go to the Kolto HaMaravi today, do you have to rip Kriya? So, Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, post 1967, said you don't have to anymore. That's not the normative opinion. That is the normative opinion regarding Yerushalayim. We consider that's a debate also. Rav Soloveitchik felt that Yerushalayim is still becharbano because until the Beis Hamikdash is up, it's still considered becharbano. So he felt, even on saying Yushalayim Bechorbano, you have to rip Kriya. But the meaning is, Rav Moshe was Cholek, the meaning is that we only rip Kriya, what, you know, on the Kotel HaMaravi itself. So, you know, for the Churban Habayi. So why don't we rip Kriya on Tisha B'Av? You know, so someone is saying, because you need Shas Chimam. That's an Avelis Yeshana. In other words, even though I guess the Kotel is, but the Kotel, you're going to the Kotel now. You haven't been there, so you're experiencing something. You're going into the Makam HaMikdash or close to it. But on Tisha B'Av, it's Avelis Yeshana. So therefore, Kriya is a din in Shas Chimam. You have to feel it right then. So therefore, whatever the reason, the bottom line is you don't rip Kriya on Tisha B'Av, even though there's not totally a din of Shiva like all the dinim of Shiva. But it's a din of Shiva in terms of in the stages of Avelis. That's why Rav Soloveitchik has different kulas based on Rav Soloveitchik. That's why one of the major kulas of Rav Soloveitchik is shaving during the 3 weeks. Because why? Because if the 3 weeks have a din of Yud Beis Chodesh. So what is the halacha? Are you allowed to shave during Yud Beis Chodesh if you're in mourning? So the halacha is, if someone comes over to you and says, you look like a menuvo, you look disgusting, so then you're allowed to shave during Yud Beis Chodesh. Of course, we paskin, you don't have to wait for someone to come over to you. People maybe are more polite today. If you look in the mirror and you see you're a menuvo, that's enough to go and shave. But so he says, that's the halacha of the 3 weeks, but many other poskim say no. It's not a din of 3 weeks, 9 days. It's different minhagim, and that's why I'd say the minhag Yisrael is not to shave during the 3 weeks. But Rav Soloveitchik's sheet is, if it's based on Yud Beis Chodesh, so then it's okay to shave. But then you get into whether music's okay during Yud Beis Chodesh or not. You know, different. In other words, they used to say, during Svira, but I guess, maybe you could say it's in 3 weeks also. See, Rav Moshe has a different heter. Rav Moshe's heter is that it's, you can't shave, but for Makam Parnasa, for Makam Sayur, in other words, he gives other heterim. According to Rav Soloveitchik, on the books, you don't have to shave, because it's Yud Beis Chodesh. According to Rav Moshe, you shouldn't shave, but if you have to shave for work, or it bothers you, whatever the reasons are. So they point out, interesting. The 17th of Tammuz at night, everyone should agree you could shave. Why? Because there's a machlokas. When did the 3 weeks start? So I'll call it a machlokas for Moshe and the Rav Soloveitchik, even though it's other people. Rav Moshe says the halachas don't apply until daytime. That's when we start fasting. And Rav Soloveitchik says, so what? The day, it's the Yom of Tanis, even at night, even though we have special dispensations not to fast. They used to fast at one point. And whatever the discussion is, Rav Soloveitchik holds that 3 weeks begin the night. So this year, it would have started last Saturday night. And according to Rav Moshe, it wouldn't have started to Sunday morning. Everyone agrees the fast doesn't begin to Sunday morning. So the question, let's say you forgot to shave, a haircut maybe, let's say shaving, but perhaps a haircut as well. Let's say you didn't shave, and then you realized it, and it's Saturday night now, and you want to shave before the 3 weeks. Is it too late? So Mamanashach, they say. According to Rav Soloveitchik, you're allowed to shave during the 3 weeks. And according to Rav Moshe, the 3 weeks don't begin to the next morning, so then it wouldn't be a problem. So therefore, I wouldn't say Lekulei Alma, but according to both Ben Rav Moshe, Ben the Rav, so you'd have a heter to, you'd have a heter to shave last Saturday night, because Mamanashach, it's not the din of the 3 weeks. So Jeff, you have a kasha? Right. We could have a separate topic on music, about music, right. So regarding music during the 3 weeks, so really music is a later institution. It talks about weddings, and then it talks about music's based on they talk about dancing. I think the Magen Aram talks about dancing during, dancing during the 3 weeks, or Svira, and so the Aruch HaShulchan makes it this, he says, if dancing's prohibited, how much more so music? So many say, what kind of Kal V'Chomer is that? Do you think you think music's more than dancing, or music's less than dancing? Like, dancing, your whole body's into it. So the bottom line is, just about all agree, one should not listen to any live music during the 3 weeks. And I might say, if you're walking by somewhere and someone's playing, doesn't mean you can't walk down the street. You have to use seichel, but I'm saying you can't, I'm not even saying that's enjoyable. but you have to, like, you can't play, like, you shouldn't have a concert during that time. You know, regarding recorded music, so that's a debate. Some say, you know, some say recorded music has the same din as regular. Others say, recorded music, like, what do you mean? Everyone listens to recorded music all the time. That's a day. It wasn't back when the Melech had it. So the king woke up. They were playing the whatever they were playing with the violin or the other music. Those are special simcha. Those are because that is halachic. You're not supposed to wake up to music. So the shailah is, does that apply today? Because everyone, because the phones go off. So that's a discussion. Some say it's not talking about that kind of music. That's nothing special. You walk around with your music, listening in your ear all day. So number one is, just about everyone agrees live music's not appropriate. Recorded music, many assume recorded music has the same status as live music. And then there's a further debate regarding a cappella, they call, where let's say it's singing without musical instruments, I believe. So some want to say, well, there's no musical instruments. So some want to say, but if you're playing it on a musical instrument, so then it has a din of a musical instrument. Others say, so there's different degrees where people, like live music, basically everyone would be against. Recorded music, some would say it was never Usher because they didn't have recorded music. And others would say, okay, recorded music, but a cappella, and others will say, you know, so yesh v'yesh. The bottom line is, the real isser, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, and what I think and others is, basically it's listening to music that's going to lead to dancing. That's the type of music that it's, you know, that's really, if you want to say me'ikar adin, or the min, because really it's based, Aruch HaShulchan says, if dancing's us, so obviously, so if you're driving in a car and you want to stay awake, you might be mechuyev to listen to music. Because, you know, that's a sakana. But let's say you're working out and the music's just to help you work out. And also, see, Rav Soloveitchik held also as well, because he holds the Isser during Yud Beis Chodesh, his Simcha Mereyes, it's a public gathering. But listening to music in your car or just by yourself at home, that's not real. That's not really what they had in mind. So I'm just saying, it's yesh v'yesh, but the real problem is music that's going to lead to dancing. You're going to get up and start dancing. That's more problematic. And then there are different, you know, I said some will usher all music. Some will say maybe recorded's okay. Some say maybe a cappella. And the point, and also if you're listening to music, like if it's slow music, like to inspire you, like, you know, it depends what you're doing. Ain't Sarah Omar, if a person's depressed anytime, but certainly during COVID time and they're stuck in their home, so obviously I'll be machmir on the depression and being mako on the music. It's only a minug, so I'm not saying to listen to music, but obviously if a person's depressed and they need I don't mean clinically depressed and nothing to talk about, but even you just down, and you know, so even that, you know, it's only a minug, you have what to rely on. So in those cases, you know, again, you don't have to listen to music that's going to get you up. Unless you're depressed, and maybe that's a good idea to get you to listen to music that you out of your bed. If you're lying in bed 20 hours a day, maybe you should be listening to that music if that's going to get you out of bed. But cause that means you have an illness. But I'm just saying, ordinarily, that's the... And then again, so it depends on what you're used to. I just say, like all these things, the way I see it is, there are many heterim as always. So I say if you want to take every heter, then you probably won't feel the 3 weeks at all. I'm just saying is like, because you could find a het. I could find a heter for shaving. I could find a heter for music. So I'm just saying is, but so it defeats the whole purpose. I'm not saying, I'm not saying what to pick, what not to. But the point is, you should feel something during the 3 weeks. That you, even if you're going to rely on that heterim, but, you know, maybe you can feel the 3 weeks doing both. Great. I'm not giving a specific thing, but, so, you know, we can't lose track that it's the Churban HaBayis, it's the 3 weeks, you know, 9 days with Mamad, B'Basar V'Yayin. So those are the things we have to keep in mind. Again, so halakhically, we're giving Hatarim because there's a need. If you, you know, let's say, you know, you work in a hospital with a mask, that he want you to shave, or you have to go to work. You know, there's not, that doesn't, that's not a conflict to feeling mourning in the 3 weeks. Or, you know, let's say you're an Istinist. Or let's say you're really down. You're a person who needs, I'm not saying those are conflicts. I'm just saying is, as a general rule, you know, we still have to feel, you know, as Rav Tzadik says, it's a, we still have to feel a spiritual, whether it's Rav Soloveitchik, a halachic distinction from Yud Beis Chodesh Shloshim to Shiva, or as Rav Tzadik said, from, we start with Dibor, Divrei Yirmiyahu, we end with Shimu, we don't end, we move to the second day, he's not even hearing Lashon Hara, and end up with Chazon Yishayahu. Everyone agrees you need to change your perspective. We have to realize the Churban perspective. You know, it's very hard to feel the Churban when you never experienced the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So we have to, as in life, we always need a perspective. You know, when you're doing something for a long time, it's always good just to get out. Like I say, I haven't left in 2 years. Let's say, even if I left, I went to New York for like a long weekend. I come back, I felt like I'm away for months. Until you get away, you don't realize how much getting away, and of course, you know, that to avoid, you know, burnout and all that stuff, especially during COVID, a lot of people, especially, you know, in hospitals, healthcare workers, a lot of them are burnt out because of what they went through, whether it's catching COVID, dealing with COVID patients. You know, it's extreme cases, and the person always, you're going to need a balance. You got to always find time for, and it's not, during an emergency, it's not easy to do. If they need you, you can't just say, well, I'm taking a vacation. And, you know, and then you find out you left the country, what? We're firing you, what? So you have to, you know, so you have to, everything has to be with chazon. You need a vision. You need perspective, a balance of, you know, what's right, what's wrong. Jeff.
Yes, so as I'm saying, so we should get some strictnesses of music for.
Yeah, obviously, I'm saying if you're going to listen, you have to speak to some. You got, if you're going to do those things, you got to speak to a rav to get a heter. I'm not saying they won't be there, but everything's relative. To me, music's not a big thing. Like, to me, not to listen to music for 3 weeks. I don't like. It's not even feel like I'm missing something. If anything, it's more, it's the 3 weeks. That's when I have the eighth hour to listen to music. Because, oh, I can't. What do you mean? Don't tell me I can't do something. Like, that's the ma'aseh with Shimi ben Gera. We know Shimi ben Gera, that's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's famous piece, that Shimi ben Gera, you know, he cursed out David HaMelech. He was a morid b'malchus, so really he was Chayim Misa. But David didn't do anything to him right away. But on his deathbed, he told his son Shlomo,
yes,
we got to get rid of him. So number one, he waited because he wanted, kind of like Pinchas, he wanted to make sure he was kuo l'shem shamayim. Maybe he was gonna, if he killed Shimi, he might think, well, I'm personally offended. He insulted me. I want to make sure I'm not killing him because he hurt my feelings. I want to make sure I'm killing him because he was morid b'malchus. So that's why David waited. So what was the game plan? How did he get him? He did it with chachma. So Shlomo HaMelech told Shimi Gera, we're not going to, it's like house arrest, but he said, you can't leave Yerushalayim. If you stay in Yerushalayim, you can do anything you want. But if you leave Yerushalayim, we're going to kill you. I mean, and they knew that he knew they were watching him. You know, like, you could discuss if you know the guards are watching you now if you break your quarantine. I heard they don't work on weekends and only come between 8 and 7. Not that I'm saying you should break quarantine, but that's what someone told me. So that's just a halacha regarding a fine. Maybe we could discuss are the rules valid, you know, dina machusa dina, etc. That's not today's discussion. So either way, so what did Shimon ben Gera do? He was in Yerushalayim, and then I think he lost his donkeys or goats, I don't know, something. So he was a very wealthy person. He sent his slaves, whoever, to go find him. But he decided to go after him himself. He left Yerushalayim. He went out, and of course they caught him and they killed him. So the shaila is, why is Shimi ben Gera going after his donkeys? Like, he didn't have, it wasn't going because he needed the donkey, he needed the food or whatever. he was a wealthy person. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says, maybe based on different mafarshim, the only reason Shimi ben Gera left is because he wasn't allowed to leave. If Shlomo never would have said, you can't leave Yerushalayim, I'm not running after my donkeys or let my workers do it. But no one likes being told what to do by anyone. You know, don't tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. So there's a Yetzer Hara. That's why Chazal tell us, Gado ha-metzuvah va-osa mishaino metzuvah yos. It's counterintuitive. You would think someone who volunteers for a mitzvah is on a higher level than someone who doesn't. And on a certain level, they might be. But what does Chazal mean? Chazal means it's because it's much harder to do. If I'm volunteering for something, okay, I'll do whatever I want. I'll go here, I'll go there. I don't have a worry in the world. And, you know, if I'm skinny, I want to go on a diet, okay. I don't want anyone telling me to go on a diet. Like, that's why it's easier for skinny people to go on a diet than heavy. I'm not saying skinny versus, I'm just saying the point being is, if someone forces a skinny person to go on, it'll be just as hard. I mean, someone who goes on a diet because they don't really have to, they want to, it's easier than going on someone who feels they have to. The doctor told them, that's just humans. So, Gado HaMitzuvah V'yoseh. It's much harder to do a mitzvah when you have to. So I'm just saying, like, during the 3 weeks, I have more of a taiva to hear music. Because, no, I have music, I have a CD in my car I never listened to, but all of a sudden, I always have to move it. All of a sudden, somehow during the 3 weeks, I start, you know, playing, you know, I change the channel. What I'm saying is, but it's not like, so I'm not a big music person anyway, so it's not such a taiva for me. So I'm just saying everyone has to know, you know, what, so that's not listening to music, that's not such a big, other people, they listen to music 20 hours a day, so it's a different shaila, you know, if they really need, you know, but in general, the point being is, I'm not giving, you know, you work it out with your rub. You know, every person's different. What's appropriate for them? You know, for them cutting, it should be it should be a little different during the 3 weeks, you know, a 9 day, whatever the difference might be, you know. But I'm not going into detail. Well, you know, well, the Shulchan Aruch gave us parameters what they should be, but going, you know, but past that, I'm just saying if you need heterim, so obviously if they're there if you need them, not there if you don't need them. Yeah, what?
Yes, but my point is, look, suppose we decide and make our compromise or decisions about shaving, music, etc., during the 3 weeks. In any case, we should try and be stricter during the 9 days. Is that it?
Yeah, right. As a general rule, besides, that's what I was saying, there's no Shavuot Shachobo this year, but there are some new laws during the 9 days, but even the rules, as a general, the 9 days is usually stricter than the 3 weeks. And Shavuot Shachobo, the Medina Gemara, Medina Mishnah, they only talk about Shavuot Shachobo. That's it. There's no 9 day. The Mishnah says Mishan Nichtas of Mematim Besimcha, but doesn't tell you any details. When it talks about not having meat, it talks about the Sudas Havra, it talks about Shua Shachobo. Even in 9 days, it's not Midin HaGemara, Basavayayin. So I'm just saying it. But the 9 days are more chummer than the 3 weeks, and Shua Shachobo. So I'm just saying, even if it's the same Isser, or same Minig, but it's a stronger Minig. But, you know, I'm just pointing out, this year it's a little better if you need a Heter, because there's no Shua Shachobo. You just go from the 9 days, you know, right until Tisha B'Av. So I don't know, better or worse, but I mean in terms of, it, you know, if a person needs a heter, there might be an easier heter because it's only the 9 days versus Shua Shachobo.
Okay.
So what's that?